We're going to jump right in the midst of a story here, and then, Lord willing, I'll go back and get what the Lord wants me to get out of it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." I'd like to turn your attention to the top of verse 39, where Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Could you stretch your hand towards heaven and just ask the Lord to help me, to help somebody? If the Lord would help me just a little while tonight, and these brothers are following me tonight, so if that scripture don't print on the screen real quickly, don't blame them. It's my fault, all right? I'd like to preach on, take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stone. Amen. We'll go back to the story of Lazarus, maybe momentarily, but I want to focus tonight on the stone that was rolled in front of the grave or the tomb that was there. Amen. And anybody that's ever preached very long at all knows in John chapter 11, you could probably preach a month's revival in John chapter 11. There's so much stuff in it, so much great things in it. And I want to talk to you just about the stone tonight. And, you know, sometimes we conceal things because they are of great value, and we want to protect them, don't we? Amen. We do. We make great efforts to make sure that the things that we are trying to preserve stay in a safe and secure place. Now, back when I was pastoring at Landmark Holiness Tabernacle down in Oklahoma City, I worked as a trim salesman. And there's a few hundred people in this church that knows what trim does, you know. I think, you know, trim and buildings is the business for the holiness people. Y'all know that. Hallelujah. I love it. And anyway, I went into a lot of different houses, and when people have got great valuable things, oftentimes they'll have that trim carpenter build a cabinet. And on that cabinet, you know, it might be right in the corner of the house, and I've seen them right in the corner of the house. Brother Rob, you've probably built a few of these. They'll build that cabinet, and they'll put it on what we call piano hinges. And they'll put it on a piano hinge, and that cabinet will just roll over against the wall, and you can have a hole back in that wall with all of your valuables stored in it, and nobody but the trim carpenter and the trim salesman knows where it's at. Maybe the painter, amen. But we know that happens. They do that. They hide things that way. They hide things that way. And, you know, it's not wrong to put things up. Now, in my trailer over there, there is a little compartment. If you want to, you could go in it. You wouldn't have to worry about valuables. There's nothing that you would value over there. But in that compartment, there is a black Bible. And it's not mine. I don't even think I'm allowed to touch it. I've never been allowed to just really look at it and see what's all in it. That's my wife's dad's Bible. And he was probably, and I'm going to take my time tonight. That's my wife's dad's Bible. And in that is all of his notes that he preached and studied and taught Sunday school class for years and years and years. Now, if you were to come to my wife tonight and you would offer her an outrageous sum of money for that Bible, she would just smile at you like she can do, and she'd say, "I appreciate your offer, but no thank you." She would just simply say, "No thank you." Now, over there also, we've got some, there's a little brown box, and stay with me just a little while. There's a little brown box, and in that little brown box, there's a baggie that's 31 years old. And inside that little baggie is some locks of blonde hair. That's all it is, just blonde hair. Just a few locks. And that is our first son Michael's haircut. We picked it up off the floor. The barber gave it to us. That's not for sale either. In my storage building, we've got a rocking chair. It's an old wood rocking chair that's not worth. I couldn't even get $10 for it at the salvage store. But it was one of our first pieces of furniture. And we have kept it now for 33 years of marriage. And on that rocking chair, I don't think we fed Michael or couldn't feed Michael enough, because he gnawed the front part of that chair away. And there's teeth marks all up and in that chair. And we put it away because that chair could never come up missing. You understand? We never can have that come up missing. Now, I don't normally do this, but tonight I brought a couple things that I don't ever let see the light of day. If I was to have one of you knife men come up here, you'd look at this knife and you'd say, "Ah, oh, it's worth about $10-$15. That ain't that expensive of a knife." But there's a preacher friend of mine who's 90 some years old, slipped this into my hand, and he said, "JR, I want you to have this. And I'm planning on holding on to it till the day I die. That's one of my most precious collection." But this one right here. Anybody ever heard of an old timer? Anybody ever hear of an old timer? They used to buy them at Walmart for about $20. Probably can buy them less than that now. But this right here. This one was left to me. You know, y'all call me J.R. Alexander. My real name is Harris Alexander Jr. And this knife is Harris Alexander's knife, my dad. He's been dead since 1991. I never let nobody even touch it. I don't even let people touch it. So I'll put it back in my pocket right now if you don't mind. My dad got all of his teeth pulled, and he tried to wear false teeth, but he thought he looked so ridiculous in them he wouldn't wear them, and so he wouldn't wear his teeth. But he chewed gum. Figure that out. He gum, I guess. I told you my dad had about a second grade education, didn't I? But he gum and. And when he passed, Dad had just went out and bought a fresh sleeve of chewing gum, the white pack of Wrigley's. And exactly. And there were six of us kids. And there were six packs. And in that brown box over there is a, since 1991, that pack of gums remained unopened. It just means something. It means something. So sometimes we roll stones in front of things, and we put things in front of things because they're valuable. They're valuable to us. And sometimes we put stones in front of things because we don't like to see them. I can hear David as he cries out in Psalm 51, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Sometimes the things we've done, we're ashamed to look at. We don't want to see. We don't want to look back. We don't want to gaze into it. We don't want nobody else to recognize or to put us in that group. I'm going to try to help you tonight. I need to go slow. I'll be done quickly, but I need to go slow. Sometimes it just hurts too bad to look at it. So we put it as far away from us as we possibly can. My brother, Gary, tonight is, and he asked me to tell this story, and I don't normally do it, but I feel like telling it tonight. My brother Gary's wife right now, he's older than me. His wife is, if God doesn't give us a miracle in the next day or so, two, we're probably going to lose her. And my brother is a great man. And I love him. But he asked me to tell this story. My brother has faced years now of emotional nightmares, to say the least. He suffered mentally and emotionally. When he was a young man, it began. I want to talk to you tonight, if you'll just stay with me just a few minutes. He asked me to tell this story. When he was a young man, they thought he had a very common disease called epilepsy. It's a lot of folks have suffered through epilepsy. And Gary, at one time, I remember he went away. He just disappeared one day at the age of about 13 or 14. He just went away. And he ran away, I guess you could say. But little did we know, at that age, he was contemplating suicide at 14 years old. He said he walked down the train track and waited. This is his own words to me. He walked down the train track, waiting for the sound of the locomotive to come. And the locomotive came. And right as it got there, he had plans of throwing himself in front of it and letting the train run him over. But something stopped him and he didn't do it. He got worse as years went by, and Gary never would come out of the closet and tell anybody anything. But God gloriously saved him. Wonderfully saved him. But he still had those emotional problems deep down inside. And Gary had buried them. And I won't try to help you tonight. Gary had buried them deep within. They hurt him. He didn't let anyone know. But 2 years ago, sitting there at Christmas, he said, "Junior, I want to tell you what happened to me years ago. And I want you to tell it all over the country. Not to hide it, because it's hurt me." He said, "When I was just a young boy," he called the man's name that was related to us, that had sexually molested him. And he said, "I couldn't tell nobody because I was ashamed. I didn't want anybody to know because I felt like it was something that I did." So he put that deep within his heart. And he rolled a stone. And he's lived with that every day of his life. He has lived with that. And to be honest with you, that hurt and that fear that you're feeling tonight, and those bitter feelings that you've got stored away somewhere out of sight, where nobody can really see what's went on. And just going back to my text for a moment, I can see Mary and Martha as they both tell Jesus the same thing. And with sincerity in their voice, they said, "Lord, if you would have been here. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But you see, Lord, he's been dead 4 days now. So when Jesus told them to take away the stone right away, in verse 39, Martha says to him, "Now, Lord, don't you understand? We've been hurt long enough. We've already buried him. He's been dead 4 days. We don't want to smell the stench of our brother. By now he stinketh, Lord. Don't you understand? He's gone. He's gone. And we put that stone in front of there so we wouldn't have to deal with the thoughts of it no more than we absolutely have to. We don't want to have to think about it all the time. We put our dead away from us, don't we? We try to find a cemetery that's beautiful and nice, and we put them under a beautiful tree by a lovely pond, and we buy them a big headstone and we write pretty things on it, and we don't want to have to look at it every day. We don't want to put it in our backyard. You know, there's a lot of things that get a hold of us. Help me preach to you just a little while. You see, every life that comes in contact with Jesus Christ must deal with the issue of the stone that you've got in front of the things in your life that you won't allow nobody to get close to. It's that part of your life that you don't want nobody to know about at all. So you just tuck it away deep down inside of you. And whenever anybody gets close to it talking to you, or whenever anybody gets close to you preaching, or a song gets a hold of your heart, you quickly slip your hand over it and say, "No, I can't let that out. That hurts too bad. I'm too ashamed of that. I can't let nobody know what's going on in my life." I want you to know tonight, Jesus came to Mary and to Martha, and he very well knew the situation that they were in. He understood that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He knew the moment that he died. He understood the pain they were feeling. He understood the sorrow that they were going through. But the Lord said to them, "Take ye away the stone." Now it seems like it would have been a whole lot easier that Jesus could have just rolled it away himself. Had his disciples to roll it away. Had his disciples to take it, or even spoke and the angelic host weigh it away. But that's not how the Lord works. And he won't work that way with you. Those things that's on the inside of your heart, my friend, the Lord's asking you tonight, amen, if you want the help, amen, that your soul does desire, you gotta take away the stone. You gotta roll it away. You gotta roll it away. Somebody in this building needs to realize what you're going through. That hurt, that pain that you don't think can ever get any better. And they're in an impossible situation. Lazarus has been dead 4 days now. And your situation is impossible. You're thinking, "I've lived with this all these years. There ain't nothing that preacher can tell me that's going to take it away. There ain't no song going to wipe it away. There ain't no sermon gonna take it away. There ain't no pretty words on a postcard gonna take it away. There ain't nothing gonna remove this hurt that's on the inside of me." You're right, there's nothing naturally that mortal man can do that will remove that hurt. But I want you to know tonight, there is one, amen, that is able to heal the broken heart. There is one that's able to take away those things that have bothered you for years. Well, I feel like telling somebody tonight, amen, if you're here in this building tonight and your heart is overwhelmed and you've got things put away that you don't want nobody to know about, I want you to know you've got to lay your hand on the stone. You've got to take away that stone. And you've got to say to Jesus, here it is. I've been hurt for years. Here it is. I've never been able to forgive them. Here it is. I've never been able to get over this bitterness. Here it is. I've never been able to get over the shame of the sin that I did and the wrong that I did and the hurt that I brought to others. Here it is. You see, sometimes you just got to open up to the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. Teresa, come, please. I feel like the Lord's here tonight.
I know
He
is here.
To heal.
Oh, hallelujah.
This is not a headache that I'm talking about. This is not a backache that I'm speaking of. But the Lord is healed here tonight. To heal you emotionally. The shame's overwhelming you. I tell this, and please cut. Don't put this on the deal. Don't put this on the deal.